Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic, joined by Melissa.
Good morning.
Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We got some entertainment news coming up in a little bit. We got some other fun topics for you. Get into our schedule and some local good events going on in the area. But it's a Monday in the 10 o'clock hour. You know what that means.
Tell me something good.
Good morning and welcome to the Kitchens Open on WFHR. It's hard to believe we are almost to the end of the month of May.
Wow.
And Memorial Day is just this coming Monday, a week from today. Woo! 1 week from today.
Go Raptors!
Not only is it a day to remember those we've lost and who fought to protect our freedom, but it's a day to connect with friends and family for fun and food.
It's the unofficial start of grilling season, although with the weather last week, many of us may have already begun.
I had it. A few times. Yes. I've done it a few times already.
Yeah, we did. Yep.
Got two in.
Yeah. Yay! When it comes to food and Memorial Day, you know the grill will be involved. Whether it's hamburgers or hot dogs, brats or chicken, there's nothing like freshly grilled meat during the summer. Mm. But those meals and those dishes are seldom served alone. So I thought it would be a good idea to talk about the side dishes.
Beth, didn't you already do an episode on side dishes?
Yeah, honey, that was on Thanksgiving.
Okay? Oh, that's right. Now I remember.
This is summer grilling sides. There are different options, and there are ways to make a side that will make a statement and possibly make it even the star of the meal for Memorial Day.
Okay.
So sides can easily become that afterthought of the meal, like you choose that main dish and, okay, well, what are you going to have with it? But when it's well done, these sides can steal the spotlight from the main dish, whatever that dish may be. I found three websites that offer some interesting ways to elevate the sides, and I took a recipe from each one. So from Delicious.com's article, 56 Memorial Day side dishes perfect for barbecues, picnics, and more, kick off the summer with the best sides ever. They shared a recipe for broccoli Caesar pasta salad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think their description of the dish is just as appealing as the dish itself. Quote, if Caesar salad took a vacation to the Midwest, she would become this broccoli Caesar pasta salad.
Such a great line.
Absolutely.
Isn't that a great
right.
line?
Yeah, it's a bar. Yeah.
Bright green, crisp, tender broccoli is tossed with cavatappi, shredded parm, and shards of crispy croutons in a silky homemade Caesar dressing for an unforgettable spin on this classic cookout staple.
Mm-hmm.
So the recipe has two components, the dressing and the side itself and the salad. So here's how to make it. For the dressing, the first step is in a small bowl, combine one large garlic clove that you've finely chopped with one tablespoon of lemon juice and let that sit for 5 minutes. Meanwhile, step two, on a cutting board, finely chop three anchovy fillets. They recommend ones packed in oil. Sprinkle an eighth of a teaspoon of salt on top and continue to chop, smashing the anchovies with the flat edge of the blade until a paste forms. So be careful you use the heel and the palm of your hand on that end of the blade,
right.
the dull end of the blade, to be able to do that. So you don't want to cut yourself making this salad.
All right.
Step three, to the bowl, with the garlic mixture, you're going to add a half a cup of mayonnaise, a half a teaspoon Worcestershire sauce, a quarter teaspoon pepper, and the anchovy paste. Whisk until combined. Taste and season with the salt and more lemon juice if you need. Step four.
With anchovies, I don't think you're going to need much more salt. I don't think so.
Well, and that's, salt is always to taste.
Of course.
So you make sure it's where you like it to be.
It's it's important to remember.
It is.
Yeah.
I
appreciate whenever I hear somebody say that, because I don't use salt very often.
Right.
And it's a nice reminder of that.
And that's the thing. It's a personal taste. Some of us like more salt. Some of us don't. So do it to taste. Step four, you're going to cover that bowl and refrigerate it until you're ready to use it. You can make it ahead at least 1 day, but try not to do it too far in advance. You transfer that to an airtight container and you can refrigerate that. You can also use, if you don't want to go through all of those steps, a store-bought Caesar salad dressing if you don't want to, or if you don't have the time to make that dressing. You can go ahead and do that too. nobody's going to know if you cheated or not.
We won't tell anybody.
Yes. Right. You're the only one that's going to know.
If you do make it, though, you will let them know.
It is true.
That's right. Good point.
So with a salad, step one is you're going to arrange a rack in the center of the oven and preheat that oven to 400 degrees Fahrenheit. In a large bowl, you're going to toss 4 ounces white country-style bread torn into 3/4 pieces with 2 tablespoons of oil and an eighth of a teaspoon of salt, again to taste. Spread that on a large metal baking sheet and reserve the bowl. You're going to do this so that you can make your own croutons. Ooh, so step two is you're going to bake the bread into croutons. So they're going to bake until they're golden brown and crisp. That's about 8 to 10 minutes, and you're going to let them cool. Again, if you don't want to do that step, you can always buy your favorite store-bought croutons. That works too. Again, we won't tell. Step three, meanwhile, bring a medium pot of salted water to a boil. Add 8 ounces of broccoli cut into 1-inch florets and cook, stirring occasionally just until tender, 3 to 4 minutes, reserving the rest of the water in the pot. Transfer just the broccoli to the reserved bowl. Okay, so you want to make sure that that water is still there. Step four is you're going to return that water to a boil, and you're going to use that then to cook the pasta. So you're going to add 8 ounces of cavatappi pasta and cook, stirring occasionally until al dente, according to the package instructions. Drain the pasta in a fine mesh sieve, then run cold water over the pasta to wash the starch off and to stop the cooking. Transfer to a bowl with the broccoli, and then add a tablespoon of oil and toss to coat. Refrigerate that until chilled, at least 1 hour or up to a day in advance. Step five is you're going to drizzle the pasta and broccoli with about 3/4 of the dressing that you've made and toss to coat it. Coarsely crush half of the croutons and add that to the pasta salad along with 1/8 cup of finely grated Parmesan cheese, and you toss that until combined. And then the last step is you transfer it to the bowl that you want to serve it in and top it with the remaining whole croutons and some more Parmesan, and you serve with the remaining dressing alongside of it. Okay. So people can add as much or little of the dressing as they want.
Boy, is there any cookout or potluck in the Midwest in the summer that doesn't have at least one, probably several pasta salads?
Yeah.
And it is a staple for outdoor picnic-y type things in the Midwest.
And most have their favorite.
They do. Oh, yeah.
Aunt Helen makes the best or something like that or what have you. As a side note, I did not realize, I think I was a teenager when I finally heard the term Parmesan, because growing up, it was always grated Parm. Just Parm. Everything was Parm. We had a lot of Parmesan in the house, and it was always Parm. I don't think I ever heard somebody say
Parmesan. Or in our house, Parmesan. If you want to be silly, it's Parm. Parmesan.
Yeah, I like that.
Hilarious. Shaky cheese.
Sounds like a really nice meal, Beth. And there was some more on this.
There is. There's another recipe from tasteofhome.com's article, 44 Memorial Day Sides to Elevate Your Summer Cookout. And I found one that I am dying to try this summer, Seth.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be a grilled one, so I'm going to need your help with this one. Not that I can't do the grill, but you tend to take hold of that over the summer. But I found bacon-wrapped asparagus.
Wow.
After all, doesn't bacon make everything better?
Yes.
Even asparagus, right?
For somebody sitting beside me here that does not like asparagus.
I wish I liked it. Maybe, I really do.
Maybe this is your doorway into starting
maybe
to
try. Maybe
the
bacon will help. Yeah.
Like I said, bacon makes everything better. So the first step is you're going to wrap the asparagus in the bacon. You place the asparagus on a sheet of wax paper and coat with cooking spray. Sprinkle with pepper and turn to coat. You wrap the piece of bacon around each spear then and secure the ends with a toothpick.
All right.
So you're going to oil and season the asparagus, then wrap it with the bacon.
Gotcha.
And you secure that bacon with the toothpicks. The second step is you're going to grill the spears. So you got to be careful with the toothpicks that are in there. You might want to soak them in water first. All right. So grill uncovered over medium heat until the bacon is crisp for about 4 to 6 minutes on each side. And then you discard the toothpicks before serving.
Yes. Very, very important.
Beth, I'm sorry, real quick. I know the reason for this, but just so Seth does, why would you water the toothpicks? Why would you?
Because they're made of wood and you're on the grill, so they could easily catch fire. When you soak them in water, it's harder to burn wet wood.
There you go.
Right. So, I figured that was it. But I also, when I assume stuff, is usually when I get in trouble. So I just want to double check. I mean, I wanted to double check for Seth.
Right.
Just for me.
I was very aware.
Gotcha. Yeah. And you can actually do a couple of twists on this recipe as well. If you want to sweeten it up, you can brush the bacon with maple syrup and Dijon mustard before grilling to introduce a sweet and tangy glaze that caramelizes beautifully on that bacon. You can make it cheesy. You can wrap a thin slice of cheese, such as cheddar or mozzarella, around the asparagus before adding the bacon.
See, now we're getting into my wheelhouse.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then
can't
if you
taste
want
the asparagus anymore.
Or you can add a kick. I know you like spice.
That's true, too.
To do that, to give it a little bit of heat, you can add a pinch of red pepper flakes or a dash of hot sauce to the asparagus before you wrap it.
All right. I think I might be up for trying that.
I think that would be a good thing for us to try this.
Yeah, summer. Why not? Give it a shot.
Yeah, we want to follow up on that one.
Yeah. Right. How did that go?
We'll also let you know if any of the toothpicks catch on fire.
Please do. got an article I'm writing about.
Yeah.
And our last one is from Epicurious.com. I love that name.
It's a great name.
Mm-hmm. Epicurious.com's article, 71 barbecue sides dishes to add some zing to your next cookout. These spectacular sides just might upstage the main event.
Mm.
I found potates rigonates. It's a Greek lemon potatoes with garlic and oregano.
Nice.
Ooh, Doesn't that sound
pretty
yummy?
Good. Yeah, it does.
So here are the steps to make this. You're going to, step one, place a rack in the center of the oven and preheat to 400 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Step two, you're going to place 3 pounds of baking potatoes, peeled, cut into 1.5-inch cubes in a single layer in a 13x9 metal baking dish or roasting pan, and pour 1/2 cup of extra virgin olive oil over them. Add 4 cloves of garlic, finely chopped, 1.5 teaspoons dried oregano crumbled, and 1 teaspoon either diamond crystal or 1/2 teaspoon of Morton kosher salt, and freshly ground black pepper to taste, and toss well to coat with olive oil.
Mm.
You know, so you want to make sure that's all coated and seasoned well. The third step is you're going to roast those potatoes for 15 minutes, and then you're going to pull it out and add 1/2 cup of chicken stock and toss to combine, and then bake for 10 more minutes. Then you're going to take it out, add 1/3 cup of fresh lemon juice, toss it again, and then put it back in to bake until the potatoes are fork tender, and that will take another 10 to 15 minutes or more. Step four is you're going to preheat the boiler on high. You're going to broil the potatoes until golden brown and turning crispy. That'll take 2 to 3 minutes. And then your last step is to sprinkle 2 to 3 tablespoons of chopped fresh oregano on top.
Wow. I'm a sucker for roast potatoes of any kind, and that sounds really good.
Yeah, very yummy. And there's a couple of variations you can do on this, too. You could add tomato chili potatoes, make it that way, where you dissolve 1 tablespoon of tomato paste in the stock and reduce the amount of lemon juice to taste. You could substitute Aleppo-style pepper or crushed red pepper flakes for the black pepper.
Make them a little spicier.
Makes it a little, gives you a little bit of heat.
A little kick on there.
Yeah.
Just what you want.
So these sounded yummy to me.
Mm-hmm.
There are, like I said, one had 77 recipes, another one had over 40, another one had 55. So there are hundreds of recipes you can go online if you're looking for something different. Because we always go to the same one. I know in our household, we do the same size.
We tend to do that. Yeah, right.
So adding something different into that repertoire and that bacon-wrapped asparagus won't take too long, and it sounds pretty easy to make. So you just have to be careful of how long you grill it.
Something I was thinking about taking a dish that you're familiar with and doing something different with it, like macaroni and cheese, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's another staple that you're going to find at picnics and that kind of stuff. I'm sure you can find different ways to spice that up, and I don't mean chopped up hot dogs like what we did when we were kids. I mean, the other ways to literally spice it up, maybe make it a little hotter, maybe make it something like that.
Yeah, you could always add barbecue sauce to it, or you could add Frank's Red Hot, so make it like buffalo style.
Buffalo style mac and cheese. Sounds like a good idea. Yeah.
So
maybe some shredded chicken in there.
You can always add veggies to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns into more of that casserole thing that we're used to.
Excuse me, hot dish, but yes.
Well, it depends on what dish. If I'm using a casserole dish, it is still a casserole.
Speaking of dish, thank you, Beth, for the links to the articles. Mm-hmm. There was a bunch of good ones. I know my mom is curious about one of them, and she's going to be diving into.
Excellent.
And because I came across Copycat Dunkin' Chocolate Munchkins.
Oh, those look good.
Yeah, they look really good. They look really good.
He goes to the desserts.
Bookmarking this one. Can't hear you.
That's not a side, James.
Can't hear you over the bookmarking. It is technically on the side of the plate.
Yeah.
It is.
I love that. He found it.
Sure.
He found a loophole there. That's good.
That is my wheelhouse. I need loopholes.
Well, whatever side you do choose to make sure you stay safe as you prepare your cookout and let the food be the star of the gathering. We'd like to shine a light on your business as a sponsor for our segment, if you'd like. As a sponsor, we will highlight your business during the segment and in our newsletter, which you can sign up for on our website. And then we could also share an interview with you or broadcast live from your business. These are all options you can discuss.
Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in learning more about these opportunities, just give us a call, 715-424-1300, and speak with Pam. She'll put you in touch with Ashley to work out all the details.
That number again is 715-424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Yeah. Very good. Oh, now I'm ready for summer now.
So ready.
Get the grilling going. Yeah.
Thank you, Beth. That was a fantastic segment.
Very nice.
Be listening every Monday for another edition of The Kitchen's Open with Beth Habegger. She'll be joining us next week. We're looking forward to it. We'll take a time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR.
Tell me something good.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate you guys and appreciate Beth. Her in the kitchen's open. That was a lot of fun.
That was good.
It sounded yummy.
Yes, it did.
Be listening next Monday for another edition of that. Let's dive into some entertainment news real quick. And Netflix is getting its first facelift in 12 years.
Okay.
Last week, we were talking on Netflix a little bit here and there and a couple of different times, but we wrapped up the week, and it was something you and I were touching on, Seth, of the migration of people kind of leaving Netflix and going to other streaming services.
Right.
Now, Netflix had a jump start on this game.
They kind of invented it, yeah.
But they have not been able to hang with it. They have not been able to keep up with it. You see this in industries that blow up all the time. It's almost the whole, to me, I'm not the person that needs the brand new phone. I'm going to use this phone until it's dead in the ground. But the person that needs to do that, I've never understood. I'm like, you know, we all know how this goes. Like 3 months later is when they work out all the bugs and everything. That's when you want the new phone.
Right.
When they work out all the kinks and everything. It's that the streaming industry has done that. They let Netflix go out there and do their thing and kind of just almost kill that company left and right. And everybody else is just kind of like, okay, they did this one thing I like and 20 things that we're not going to do.
Right.
And one of the things that they've been really late on is just figuring out, like, what do people want? They've leaned very heavy into video games. And I have not heard anybody really getting Netflix for video games.
I just saw that recently. I was like, really?
I did too.
I was very surprised by that. Yeah.
The streaming giant on last Wednesday announced a major overhaul of its homepage, the first redesign since it unveiled its current homepage back in November 2013.
Wow.
Additionally, the streamer announced it will begin testing generative AI boosting search and a TikTok-like vertical video feed on mobile. While Netflix emphasized that these will initially be considered, quote, small tests, meaning that not all Netflix users will initially receive the tools, the global scale of the tests suggests a much larger undertaking. The streamer's sleeker new TV homepage will move its main menu from the left-handed side to the middle of the page, similar to its rival Apple TV.
Okay.
Content descriptions will appear more compact, and recommendations will be more personalized in real time based on browsing behavior and the viewer time of day, the company said. Signaling the streaming giant's ambitious outside of TV and film, the new menu will also emphasize more of Netflix's live events and gaming offerings. So that's a lot of where they're going.
I was going to say. Well, that changes everything, James. Now that they've redesigned them, I'm going to go right back to them now.
Right.
Yeah. Yep, that changes everything for me.
Question. How do you play games on Netflix with just a
That's a great remote? Question, Melissa.
Yeah. You got to have a controller?
I have no idea. I just saw the thing. Boy, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
This announcement comes less than 3 weeks after Netflix reported record profits during its latest quarterly report. They reported that. Mm-hmm. They didn't show that.
Because they don't show. They just say. Yeah.
I don't believe a single one of these streaming services when they talk about their numbers, and mm-hmm. and they could be giving you the literal honest numbers. They could be rounding down, and I still wouldn't believe them until I see the actual data. Like, there's nothing to trust. And I'm saying this like if I was an advertiser, if they were coming to me and like, hey, we want you to advertise with Netflix. All right, show me the numbers. Like, well, just take our word for it. Like, that really works for
right.
business.
No.
That seems like a great idea. Yeah, I don't know. First off, way late on this. Really late on this one. Mm-hmm. But also, I don't know what good it could do because all of this talk in the hours that their CEO was up there talking, nothing about content. Nothing about TV shows. Nothing about new shows or new movies or anything about that.
Like that's how they became what they were. They had so we all remember, right? Netflix was a DVD rental company,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. You rented the DVDs.
It used to come in the mail.
It was actually a pretty cool service, you know.
It was. We had DVD. It when I was
yeah.
get yeah, your get when it your first came out.
DVDs and return them, and that's really cool. But the thing that set them apart with the streaming was having a critically acclaimed television show that they made themselves, which was Orange Is the New Black.
Yep,
that's what started it. They had good content. They were creating good things.
Keen listeners might have noticed the intro music we had. It was the theme music to the Tracy Ullman show.
Mm-hmm.
The Tracy Ullman show was supposed to be the benchmark show for the Fox network.
Mm-hmm.
It was not. It was a good show and it did okay, but the ratings weren't really there that much. It took the spinoff of The Simpsons. Now, Married with Children got the ball rolling. It was the first hit that they had, but it wasn't the mega hit that The Simpsons was, of course, and where it would come to be. And it literally made a network.
Mm-hmm.
Like not just one network, but all the spinoffs of that, Fox Sports, Fox News, all those things. It doesn't happen without Married with Children and The Simpsons, which is hilarious if you think
when
about
you think
it
about it, right?
Bit. Yeah. But it's also something that Rupert Murdoch, whether I think he's a despisable human being, but very smart when it comes to this stuff, because he knew that those two shows, what happens? They get attention. They get attention. Yeah, they're paying fines with the FCC. What they paid in fines, they more than tripled in advertising dollars.
Right. People are watching. People are talking about it, right?
So like him or not or whatever, very smart way of business model. Mm-hmm. What Netflix could have done is something very similar with that. And they not only had that set to Orange Is the New Black, but Stranger Things that really saved that streaming service and really keep it relevant.
House of Cards, and a couple of good shows.
That they've gone away from that, it feels like.
Oh, very far away from that.
Not even trying anymore to do that, and instead they're kind of like grabbing shows from overseas and bringing them here and stuff. And
it's cheaper
I don't
to do it. It's already made. It's cheaper.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious to see how long of a shelf life Netflix has.
Yeah, it'll be around, but I mean, who knows what form it'll take?
Yeah,
you know,
especially a year from now.
Yeah,
yeah. The next thing, Netflix gaming controllers. You can rent them, and they'll ship them right to your door.
They've come full circle. Yes.
Yeah, that's so going to be hilarious. That's definitely going to happen. Imagine meeting one of the Beatles. So many questions would go through your head, things that you might want to ask and everything. But it might not be this. It probably wouldn't be what Larry David would have asked, what you would think of. Because David asked the first, this is Larry David asked the first time he met Paul McCartney. It happened earlier this year at a dinner during the Saturday Night Live 50th anniversary celebration. He asked Paul, quote, "Have you ever been hit in the face with a fist? Has anybody ever punched you?" And Paul answered the question immediately. Larry says, quote, "There was an incident in his youth when he was like 13 or 14 and somebody headbutted him," he told them.
Ooh, ouch.
This revelation came on the Fly on the Wall podcast with Dana Carvey and David Spade that they do, one of the more popular podcasts out there. Spade actually witnessed the conversation and said, quote, "You were hilarious. Paul was a good laugher, too. He was into it. I think he likes having these goofball comics around because they always ask him questions that not everyday questions."
By the way, a little known fact, his brother, Mike, who goes by or used to go by the name Mike McGear, was a comedian. He was on a couple of comic show. I don't know what to call it. You know, kind of variety shows on the BBC for a while. He had a comic troupe that he was a part of, actually. So,
I don't know what I would ask Paul or Ringo, you know, or anything like that. I I know I wouldn't come up with something as great as that.
There's got to be people that, like, everyone has to have one of that group of, you know, one of those people that when you meet it, you're just going to be tongue-tied, even though you know this is like it's just a normal human being, you know, yes, but they had such a profound effect on my life, you know? So you get up there and you ask, like, how many different kinds of fish can you name? Or something like that, you know? Ask these really bizarre questions.
I've been very humbled and very spoiled in my little bit of an acting career that I've had, and mm-hmm. gotten to meet a handful of people that are pretty darn noteworthy and pretty mm-hmm. darn talented. And I've been able to not, I wouldn't say hang necessarily talent wise, I don't mm-hmm. know about that, but just in conversation and not be, you know, a blubbering idiot and just a fanboy and yeah, all right. that stuff. Until I met Jimmy Hart. Jimmy Hart, a long time wrestling promoting, guy, mm-hmm. a long time in the industry. Somebody I grew up watching on, you know, wrestling and yep. stuff. And we find he's going to come down for a Raptors game, and you know we're promoting it and everything. Mm-hmm. And Andy Francis at the time, GM of the Raptors, is getting hold of me that morning as we're doing the morning show, and like, hey, you know, Jimmy, would like to be on the air with you and everything. I'm like, oh my God, that's awesome. So we're assuming he's going to call in. Nope, Jimmy decides to roll in, man. He comes wow. in. He comes into the studio, and I am 13. I am 13. We've still got the interview. You go back and listen to that interview, and I am such a gushing just fool. Like, he could not have been nicer or better. He ran that interview. I'm basically so you were born somewhere. Where? I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was, man. I've been around Downey and didn't even feel close to that. But something about him and being around him, I even thinking about it right now, I get all tongue-tied.
Well, it's funny. It's the weirdest people, right? Yeah, like you said, you know, you could meet like one of the biggest stars in the planet, you know, Robert Downey Jr. It's like, yeah, hey, cool, you know, we're equals, you know, we're both acting together, yes, you know, yes. we're peers, that kind of stuff. But you get stuff, especially for things when you were a kid. I mean, and you do. You get transported back to that mm-hmm. time, and you're like, oh, I don't know what to say.
I was just a blubbering
player. This is me sitting in a jazz club in Kansas City, okay? And I'm sitting there with my friend. We're there, you know, just taking in the music. And I hear from behind me someone go, hey, is this seat taken? And I turn around and I look, and it's Buck O'Neill.
Oh, my God.
And I say, no. And that's it. That's all I said to him. And he sat right next to me at this jazz club. I'm like, kind of thing. Yes. I didn't know what to say to him.
This is another one of those things. They don't get right in the movies and TV shows. No. Whenever somebody runs into a celebrity, they always have the perfect thing to say or whatever. That just does not happen very often. We'll take a time out, everybody. We will come back, and we're going to get into this fun topic. I think it's a big fun. Things that foreigners like about Americans.
All right.
We'll get into that when we come back on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Lady Madonna, children at your feet. Wonder how you managed to make ends meet.
I think it was my first favorite Beatles song.
It's a good one.
That's so good.
Speaking of Paul McCartney.
Yeah. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Let's get into an interesting, fun topic here. And I think, prevalent for today's day and age. Things foreigners like about Americans.
All right.
Going to see...
Some good news.
Yes.
About being American.
You're going to see plenty about, the negative when it comes to these things and stuff. Mm-hmm. We are always going to be a bastion of a positive and, healthy good news and all that, and I think this mm-hmm. is a great one. So a website scoured social media to find things that foreigners like about Americans, and there are some interesting random responses here. and these are more along those lines. They're not necessarily the verbatim survey that took. And people like the way that we our food or our music or something along those lines, which I think is pretty most of that stuff you probably already understand or have known or have mm-hmm. heard for a long time. I would say that the Cold War really brought light to this along any chance they got. Blue jeans, rock and roll music.
Right,
things
yeah.
that are exported that aren't necessarily exports or imports of ours.
Right, more cultural exports. Yeah.
I think this is more along those lines.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about Americans is how often football fields is used as a unit of measurement.
Oh my God.
You do hear that.
That is so true.
Like three football fields away.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
That's a good one. Quote, I love how Americans say coffee. Coffee.
Coffee. Like, well, how else do people say it?
Yeah, I don't know.
They say cafe or something. I don't know.
I don't know what that one is. Quote, I love how Americans make a salad where the primary ingredient is pasta.
Yes. Well, we were just talking about
pasta
that.
Pasta salads, yes.
Yes, that's right.
They're
remember,
so good, though.
Remember, in the South, macaroni and cheese is a vegetable. It is called a vegetable. Yeah. Yes, it
true.
Is. Yep.
True one. It's true. Quote, I love how Americans call their dogs stuff like Cooper, Tucker, and Tanner. I have no idea what any of these names mean, but the dog is very cute.
A dog by any other name. I think they're right. Americans do use interesting names to call their animals. I agree with that.
Well, just the fact that we give our animals like human names,
right?
Has always been interesting to me. But I don't know if we've talked about this. I apologize if nobody's noticed this. I can't believe that we have flipped this where our animals we're giving like Bob, Joe, and our kids we're calling Frankenstein. Moon unit. They were just giving right. like we. Flip this around.
What happened? Our animals. The
most popular name in America for your kid, Spot.
Hey, Rover. How was school today?
Anybody seen Fido? Wait, he's supposed to take out the garbage.
Fido?
Mittens. Where's Mittens?
That's so good. Quote, I love it when Americans say, I got you. I do feel generally reassured.
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
That's a good one.
I use that quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, I love that. I love how Americans have these mysterious, unexplained food substances called things like hot grits and sloppy joes.
Food substances.
The idea that it does not describe at all what they are, I think is what they're getting to, is it right? Yeah.
Well, but they have things like that, too.
Yeah.
Black pudding.
Yeah.
There is nothing sweet about black pudding.
Well, that's the Brits. They do that thing. They just do it to disguise how horrible their food is. That's why they do that.
I can't prove this, but there was a sketch on the season finale of SNL where they were all focused on like English cuisine back in Victorian days and stuff, and like eels and stuff.
Oh yeah.
And I was thinking about it the other day. was this them trying to like keep people out of their country? Like, this wasn't the real food they were eating, but they just let everybody think that that's what, hey, blood pudding, that's all we eat here.
You know? Yeah,
like,
right.
This will keep them out.
It's a delicacy.
The whole idea of having laws and rules and everything to keep people out of your country, I think you're doing it wrong. Like, all you got to do is do things like that.
Like, the food is horrible, right? Yeah, there you go. That'll
quit
do it.
Bragging about your country. I love how Americans pronounce duty, like duty.
It's my duty.
With two D's instead of a T.
Yeah,
duty.
Yeah,
exactly. Yes. That, yeah.
One person.
You just said duty on air.
I did. I was waiting for one of us.
Speaking of 13-year-olds.
One person said, one of my favorites is that they'll often say question before asking the question.
I do that.
Or do that too.
Often in text.
Yes. And another person said, I love it when Americans say period to finish a sentence.
Period.
Yes.
Full stop.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just have to speak our grammar.
Our punctuation. Yeah. Yes. Sometimes we got to do it.
I love the way Americans all have a favorite regional gas station.
Oh my God, that's true.
But it's true because we are such a ginormous country.
That's part of it. Yeah. It's a very large country.
Quote, my favorite thing about Americans is their extreme disgust for line cutters.
Is that a problem in other countries?
Extreme disgust for
line cutters. Yeah.
I did not pre-read this, but every one of these is making me want to look into other countries and see, like, is this not a thing there?
They have the queue. You know, you get in the queue.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But maybe they're just a little more... I don't know. Nice They're, about it?
They just like don't really care as much. I don't know.
I don't know.
Why are we so big about that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But that is
really hate that.
You talk about universal feelings.
I'm telling you.
That everybody is feeling. Like,
you want to bring together a group of people? Have somebody try to cut in their line.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You like, I
taking your life in your hands there. Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine this happening in a, I'm just thinking of few circumstances where you get a line of people, but they may not see eye to eye, voting. You probably see it for that.
Yeah.
And I just can't even imagine, like, a line, somebody trying to cut line voting. Like, the way you would unify people in just a second of that. Yeah.
Wow.
Election, James. Let's go out and do that.
We're the no-cutting party.
Bring people together.
Not only that, I might even run for office, everybody. And my only thing I'm going to run on is being against line cutters.
Yes, your single-issue candidate.
I'm not even going to say what party I am. I'm just going to say, hey, I'm against line cutters.
Well, he must be pretty good. Let's vote for him.
I really shouldn't joke about that. I really shouldn't.
We see the headlines now.
Quote, I love when Americans say whoop-de-whoop.
Whoop-de-whoop.
I'm guessing that's more whoop-de-whoop along the lines of just like phrase, voices we do and
like
stuff.
Random, like
whoop-de-whoop.
Yeah, onomatopoetic words, maybe, yeah. Something just random noises that we make. Mm. We do that a lot now that I think about it. Yeah. Wow.
Quote, I love how Americans in movies just end phone calls without any further explanations.
James, we were talking about this earlier, weren't we? How the way phones work in movies and TV shows, that the other person's always there.
Always there.
Always answers, unless it sets up the next part thing. Was like, why didn't they answer the phone, right? Now we have to find out what happened.
Every director does the same thing, too. It's got to ring a couple times, because that really makes it real. That makes it real, the authenticity of it and everything.
Because if you only let it ring once,
phone call.
I'm telling you.
Quote, my favorite thing about Americans is how much they genuinely enjoy discussing the weather.
That's actually pretty true, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just small talk.
But it is easy to go to small talk.
It is certainly easy to go to small talk. It's the easiest, I think.
It's the easiest.
It's got to be.
By far and away.
Because it affects everyone, As we've learned with Melissa, not everyone follows sports, which, was news to me. But
you're welcome for broadening your horizons, Seth.
Two more for you here. Quote, I love how Americans greet each other by saying, how you doing? And then not answering back.
Yeah. Just saying, how you doing?
Not answering the question.
Yes. How you doing?
Yeah.
exactly. You just question.
You answer it with a question.
Yeah.
And I think we do that with a lot of things where we answer something with a question.
Absolutely.
Or you respond with I'm fine, how are you?
Yep, mm-hmm. The classic.
And they're just the platitudes, and then you maybe talk about the weather.
That's
nice.
That's why it's a greeting. You're not actually asking them how they're doing. Mm. It's just a greeting. That's what it is.
Yeah. And finally, I love how Americans decorate for every season.
Oh, yeah.
And they emphasize every season.
Oh, gosh, yes.
So that's true. That one I really do want to look into. That one, because I'm really curious. Like, wow, so they don't do that in other countries? Like,
no.
Even a little
maybe
bit.
Specific,
maybe
specific? Like holidays?
Yeah.
But not every holiday,
It's interesting.
Getting ready for Arbor Day.
There's probably some, regional ones that people
in
certain areas go all out for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's a pretty interesting list.
But we no. We must have a flag day. Yep. Must be decorated for. We need to do it.
We need a day about croutons. We need a crouton day.
Let's decorate.
I would stand by that.
Yeah, okay. I do love croutons.
Croutons are fantastic.
Croutons are great.
We have makeup holidays that we can get ready for. So
yes.
Let's do it. Yeah.
You can find the entire list at BuzzFeed.com. Have some fun with that, everybody. We're going to take our final time out of the day. We'll come back and have some fun, wrap up the show, get into our schedule, and some good things going on in our area right here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now, right away.
Melissa, Seth, and James wrapping up the show for the day, but we'll be back at it tomorrow. Mel and I are going to be hanging out with you. Be sure to join us. Real quick programming note tomorrow. One of the reasons we encourage people to be a part of things with the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce is showing the community that, you're supporting the community, all the great things that they can offer there. And, of course, you get to hang out with us.
Yeah, that's right.
Every new chamber member gets, as part of being a chamber member, gets a chance to join us on these airwaves for 10, 15 minutes to talk about.
And that's not a threat.
No, this is a good thing.
Think about it like that, you're right. Tomorrow morning, we'll be joined at 10 a.m. by Michelle Rogas, and we're looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Very nice.
Our friends at Rapids Transmission are going to be here to talk about their business and the history of the business, too, which I find is interesting as their business itself.
Very exciting. They're reopening that,
We had an article in our last newsletter that came out about their business.
Be sure to join us and see how many times I call Michelle Melissa and Melissa Michelle. See how many times I mix them up. And I'm just mortified by it every time I do. we got a Danny Wright story I want to touch on real quick. A South Carolina resort says it already has a record 161 people signed up to run an annual 5K race with an unusual twist. Clothing is optional.
Oh, dear.
The Carolina Foothills Resort, a nudist resort in Spartanburg County, said this year's Buck Creek Streak 5K already has a record high number of people registered for the June 14th race.
Oh, my goodness.
Buck Creek Streak. Okay, that's a really good name.
That's a great name.
The part of this is that this is not more well-known. This needs to be talked about more. That's the
love it.
This year's race offers an option to go the extra mile and run the 7.3K in honor of the race founder Mike Ward, who passed away at the age of 73 back in 2017. People who register for that 7.3K will also be eligible to win 5K, organizers said.
Oh, nice.
Wow. Okay.
This is a fun event, but it's also got a lot of family people showing up. So I don't know.
It's a lifestyle, everyone.
Organizers said first-time visitors to the resort must pass a background check before being allowed on the resort.
Of course. That's very smart.
Registration includes a free lunch and a day pass to explore the clothing-optional resort.
There you go.
Clothing-optional resort.
Yep.
Can you run faster naked?
That's a good
one. Find out.
It's a little science project, a little experiment we're trying here.
The question is, do you wear shoes?
Yeah, I would still wear shoes.
5K is a long way to run without shoes, unless you're... practice for it.
Yeah.
You can definitely run faster naked. I will not be taking follow-up questions. But yes.
Of course, we have to know what the motivation also was on that. So, you know, take that with a grain of...
Earlier you got it, Seth, when we were saying, you know, somebody can run fast. You'll find out in certain
situations how fast
somebody can run.
Make you run just a little bit faster. Maybe.
And you said this is a family affair, but guys, it's just skin.
It is.
Not a really big deal.
Speaking of things that are different here than they are around the rest of the world, the way we are about that.
That's
we're
kind of funny.
How prudish we are about
just, you know, the human body, right? Our skin.
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
It's our biggest organ.
Yep.
We have our schedule and some good things going on in our area to get to. Be sure to join us a little bit later today for your live sports call-in show, Playmakers, on 105.5 WIRI from 4 to 5. Be sure to join us with sports takes and feelings. Big thank you to Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods for joining us.
Very nice.
I think it might be a solo show for me today, but this Friday, I'm going to be joined by a new manager for your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Coach Ziggy's going to join us.
Yes.
Looking forward
to
that.
Very exciting.
We are going to have Meet Your Rafters back for a whole season and get you ready for Rafter baseball and got some tickets to give away and all kinds of cool stuff.
It's the Rafters a week away. Week away.
Very exciting. Very exciting about some of the other things going on in their area as well. One of them I wanted to touch on. Lincoln High School has their spring concert series going on over at the Performing Arts Center. They have a show tonight at 6:30. Their LHS band concert will be at the PAC tonight at 6:30. Check that out, everybody. Be sure to support those kids. Also, tomorrow at 6 p.m., there will be over at Rams, there will be the sixth grade concert, followed by at 7, the 7th, 8th grade band concert.
Yep. I'll be there.
That'll be their final.
I will be there.
It does look like that is their final one of the season, too, Seth.
Yes.
So
yes,
make sure
is.
To get to that one if you can. Everybody, encourage you to do so. And then our friends in Nakusa this Wednesday at 6 o'clock at Alexander Middle School and Nakusa High School have their band concert.
Yes.
Nice.
All kinds of stuff happening this week.
That's
awesome.
Check that out if you get a chance. And, of course, Seth, we want to encourage all local heroes.
That's right. The Community Blood Center is having their next blood drives today and tomorrow, everyone. one, of course, because of the holiday on Monday. They're usually it's a week apart, but they're just going to do them back to back. So today from 2 to 7, and then tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. over at the former East Junior High School in the cafeteria. That's at 311 Lincoln Street, everyone. You can schedule your life-saving donation by calling 800-280-4102. You can also go to the Community Blood Center website. I did this just to check it out, and it's real easy to do it online as well, to sign up for a time for that as well. And they just type in Wisconsin Rapids, and all the times and dates will pop up there. So you can do it that way as well. Also, yeah, I'll go right ahead and do this one, too. We also have a diaper drive being put on by the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. It's going through Father's Day, which is June 15th. You can drop off those diapers at the United Way offices at 351 Oak Street in Wisconsin Rapids during their normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4. This is your chance to help get new and unopened diapers of all sizes, wipes, unscented preferred, and diaper rash paste and or creams into the hands of parents in need. They also, of course, will be accepting monetary donations so they can purchase some of those items as well.
Yeah, we appreciate everybody being a part of all of these things going on in our area. Keep it up, everybody. Keep up the great work. We still have Little Charlotte's Animal Rescue as well going on, that pet drive. Encourage you to look into that. Also wanted to touch on this one, you guys. Dairy Queen Catering catered a Texas wedding for free after the bride made an impassioned appeal on TikTok. They don't usually.
I didn't know they catered.
Aha, yeah, that's it.
They don't usually do this, but said it was a no-brainer because the groom's last name is Blizzard.
Oh, really?
His name is Bradley Blizzard.
Bradley Blizzard. And that's a real name. Oh, my gosh.
That's funny.
I mean, you're right. It's like
and then
free advertising.
Just the fact that they asked if they would cater.
Yeah.
And they followed through. Good on you, Dairy Queen. Well,
that's
done.
Not bad. Not
pretty,
bad.
Pretty, pretty interesting.
And a lot of those are very, you know, they're locally owned.
They are.
Yes. And operated. So it's whatever those business owners chose to do that. That's cool.
That's very cool.
And a heart doctor from Oklahoma saved a guy's life on a recent flight from Uruguay to Amsterdam. A man, that's got to be a weird flight. A man on board was having chest pains, and luckily for him, cardiologist TJ Trad was there. Even luckier, Trad was on his way home from a medical mission in Uruguay.
Oh my gosh.
And had all of his supplies with him.
Oh my, even better. Holy cow.
He ended up giving the guy five medications doctors give to treat a heart attack. Trad also had a credit card sized EKG device with him. He said he always has it on him now, or he will always have it on him now, ever since he had a heart attack last year himself.
Oh my gosh. So that's, I didn't even know they made him that small.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Wow. Why aren't we talking about that?
I saw an article this weekend about, and we're still a ways away from it, but they've got a brand new test to be able to test for Alzheimer's. And it's just like a drop. It's almost like taking, just takes a
blood test, right?
Blood sample.
And it still has to be with other tests and everything, but it's revolutionizing. It's incredible. And I don't hear anybody talking about
it. I know.
But
why aren't we talking about it?
It's really incredible stuff. And here is another one. This hot tub got a little too hot. An off-duty firefighter near Denver jumped into action when a neighbor's jacuzzi caught fire on Thursday.
Whoa!
Oh, no.
Garrett Golish was working in his backyard when he smelled smoke, called 911, and then fought the flames with a garden hose, kept the fire from spreading to the person's house next door, and no one was hurt.
Mm. Wow.
Oh, that's awesome.
Quick thinking.
Really nice work.
Good
right
job.
There. Right
yeah.
there. That has got to be one of those moments, too, where obviously afterwards and everything, you just got a moment like, really? My hot tub? Of all the things to catch fire? Nobody's going to believe me.
Hey, your Bill's hot tub got on fire? What?
Yeah. And the people that do believe him are never going to let him hear the end of it.
Yeah, at least my hot tub didn't catch on fire, Bill. I mean,
you know, you're supposed to keep water in that hot tub.
Hot tub
wouldn't
getting a little
start
too
on
hot.
Fire then.
Hey, Phil, I gotta go. Hey, Phil, hot tub getting too hot?
Yeah,
gotta get in hot tub.
I gotta boil some eggs, Bill. Can I use your hot tub?
He's never hearing the end of that. He's not only got people bugging, like, he's got the only hot tub in town too. Like everybody other.
Poor Bill.
And I hope his name isn't really Bill.
No, sorry, Bill. That was my. I just said that.
We'll be back tomorrow. Everybody, have a great day, everyone.
You too.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.